Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, November 10th, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. Bond supporters dominate high turnout, legacy precincts, by Stuart Doreen. When it comes to bond politics, a community divided became a community united, or at least more so than 2019. Officials turned around the misinformation in 2019 by winning more precincts in legacy high school attendance zones and dominating the precincts with the highest turnout. All totaled, there were 42 precincts inside Midland County where voting on the Midland ISD school bond took place. Those voting for the bond outperformed the opposition in 28 of those precincts. That is basically two-thirds of the entire map. When it came to the precincts with the highest turnout, Energize Midland Students, the Political Action Committee supporting the bond referendum, achieved the following outcomes. Wins in 10 of the 11 precincts with the highest turnouts, those where 800 or more votes were counted. Wins in the 8 precincts with the highest turnout, those where 935 or more votes were counted. A clean sweep of the districts where 1,000 or more votes were counted. Dominating the larger districts matters. The 11 most active districts accounted for 7,254 votes for the $1.415 billion school bond, or around 74.7% of the opposition's votes in all 42 precincts. Those supporting the bond won areas in Old Midland, precincts 207, 205, and North and Northeast Midland, precincts 204, Polo Park and Saddle Club, and 211, the State Highway 349 corridor. It also won primarily legacy high precincts, which was a struggle in 2019. That year, 85% of then Lee High School precincts voted against the $569 million bond referendum. That changed this year. Some of the most active voting precincts voting for the bond included Precinct 110, Grasslands, Precinct 404, around Trinity School of Midland, Precinct 403, Central Midland, around Legacy High School, and Precincts 408, Mockingbird Heights and part of Greentree, 410, far northwest Midland, and 411, Great House, Briarwood, and South Greentree. Stan Van Hooser, the Energize Midland chair, told the Reporter Telegram this week that the 2019 bond had several issues that were a concern to many voters and some on the Lee legacy side of town specifically. In my opinion, it was the three high school option and how it was going to be done, Van Hooser stated. The 2019 bond called for building two new high schools. One would replace Midland High, one would be a new school, and then the current Lee Legacy High School would just have some updating renovations. Three high schools would mean boundary changes, and what those would be could not be identified prior to the election. Van Hooser also said voters did not see having the possibility of high schools participating as University Interscholastic League Class 5A schools as good options. The plan, he said, was seen as messing with traditions that had long been in place. This bond was a two high school option where both schools would be new and have the same amenities, Van Hooser said. I think both sides of town see it as all our students will have equality when it comes to the facility their students will attend. Many of the same traditions will stay intact, with the difference being they both have 21st century schools they can be proud of. In the future, if the growth is such that a third high school is needed, one can be built, and all of our kids will be in new schools. and I think the community will be more open to that than they were with the 2019 option. It likely didn't hurt that Van Hooser was a former Lee High School principal, as was Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard. Current Legacy High School football coach Clint Hartman also offered public support for this year's bond. In 2019, former Lee football coach John Parchman was among those in opposition against the bond, as was former Midland High football coach Craig Yenser. State Representative Craddock to seek re-election by Stuart Doreen. The dean of the Texas House will seek another term. State Representative and former House Speaker Tom Craddock announced Thursday he is running for re-election in Texas House District 82, which is made up of Midland, Martin, and Dawson counties. Craddock first won election in 1968 and is the longest-serving lawmaker in state government. Representing West Texas in the Texas House of Representatives is an honor, Craddock offered in a press release. The issues facing the Permian Basin today are important to the success of generations to come. Now is the time to continue to fight for the Permian Basin in Austin. I would be proud to again represent District 82 in 2025. During the 2023 session, the Midland Republican worked to secure funding for multiple additional programs in House District 82. The Texas legislature has committed more than $126.7 million in funds for a new mental health hospital in the Permian Basin, and construction has already begun. In addition, Craddock has secured almost $15 million for the rural health initiatives through Texas A&M Health Science Center in Martin and Dawson counties, $6 million in healthcare workforce training through the University of Texas Permian Basin, $1.75 million for additional mental health workforce training programs at Midland College, and almost $62 million to develop a frontline disaster management strategy with emergency response professionals. Craddock also reported supporting multiple bills to improve the lives and businesses of Texans during the 88th regular session this year. These bills include changing the statute of limitations on aggravated assault offense from 2 to 5 years, creating a hotline for workplace violence, improving the security at our southern border, creating the largest property tax cut in Texas history, and prohibiting vaccine mandates, Craddock wrote. The Republican primary in Texas will take place March 5th. Knowledge of Midland Matters to Maven Real Estate Group by Ben Schaefer. Midland's newest real estate team is far from new to the game. After realizing their desire to take full control of their own business, Midland Realtors Shauna Garcia, Ashley Irons, and Amber Grissom have teamed up to form Maven Real Estate Group at Fathom Realty. Garcia, Irons, and Grissom are Maven's team leaders. The full team also includes Shanna Miller, Caitlin Leary, Mackenzie Faust, and Haley Heeman. The vision behind it is that it's three successful agents on their own running at the same time together, Grissom said. That's what we created it to be. Anybody who comes on with us, their win is our win too, and we're supporting one another all the way through. Not only does the Maven team have more than 55 years of combined real estate experience, but they are also a team of native Midlanders who understand the local area. Irons is a Midlander who graduated from Lee, now Legacy, High School in 2007. Irons has been selling real estate for around 12 years in the Permian Basin. Garcia is a native Midlander who began her real estate career in 1997. She is also the founder of the Fabulous Women of Midland, Granbury, Odessa, Parker County, Monahans, and Johnson County. Grissom graduated from LHS in 2005 and attended Abilene Christian University. Committed to her community, Grissom serves as the chair of the Decorations Committee for the American Cancer Society, actively supports the Boys and Girls Club, and is a part owner of the design and renovation company Fixed. Being raised in Midland and remaining in the tall city illustrates the Maven team's commitment and investment in their hometown, they said. I think our clients know that we are so invested into the community and we're not just going to sell them a house and not care because we might not live here in a year or two. Irons said, we care so much about selling someone a home and getting them the right price because they call us back in 2 or 3 years. We have every intention of still being here. When it comes to selling Midland to a client, the Maven team finds themselves talking about the appeal of Midlanders and the community, including the proposed downtown infrastructure that has been discussed at the city government level, and the ability to find a workplace and associates who can turn into your family. The people here are amazing, Grissom said. The business owners here love their community. I feel like that's definitely a selling point in Midland. According to Garcia, the name Maven, or expert, speaks to their knowledge of Midland's unique housing market as well. You can know real estate, but if you have to move to Houston, I'm not an expert in that industry. I don't know Houston, she said. For Grissom, the allure of the real estate business is the ability to control your own destiny and work hard for yourself with no glass ceilings. Irons loves the relationships and helping others make one of the most significant purchases in their life. The Maven team discussed the unique housing market in Midland and its current standing. Irons said this year has been strange as it relates to the local market. Because inventory is still low, we have 451 houses on the market, last I checked, which is still pretty low inventory. Prices really aren't moving, but rates are higher. So people basically are paying a little bit higher than what they're used to, Irons said. According to Irons, these higher rates shocked the local housing market slightly, which has resulted in more days on the market for sellers. In the spring, a home in Midland would stay on the market for about 32 days. Currently, a house will remain on the market for about 57 days, according to Maven. Things are just taking a little bit longer to sell, but it's still a great, healthy market. Still a great time to buy, still a great time to sell, Irons said. Garcia said with any market, houses being priced correctly is vital to receiving offers. Whether it's an incredible boom, bust, whatever, we still need the homes priced correctly, she added. That's the big key. If they're priced correctly, we will get multiple offers. It is still a good market. It's just different. Maven Real Estate is currently awaiting the completion of their office building on West Wadley Avenue. Murray's Deli expanding to Bush Tennis Center by Morgan Taylor Thomas. In August, Murray's Deli announced via Facebook the beloved restaurant's expansion into the Bush Tennis Center. As part of the premier athletic complex construction happening at BTC, the new grub spot will be called Murray's Center Court Grill. The location is a product of tennis friends and word of mouth, according to Murray Deli owner and partner Betsy Wells. They wanted somebody who stuck to their values, was community-oriented, and really cared about growing the community in that direction. Plus, they love our food, so we thought it was a good fit, Wells said. Furthermore, Wells said the new partnership will allow the 39-year-old business to place itself in a new market. We're very excited to get Murray's on that side of town. There's really not a lot to eat out there, and there's a lot of growth and expansion happening, so it's a really great opportunity, Wells said. As for menu items, Murray's Center Court Grill will feature top sellers from the Wadley Avenue location, including the Heavenly Salad and Burgers, although the wood-fire brick oven pizzas will not make the cut, Wells said. Non-Wadley Avenue items such as chicken fingers and other bites will take their place. The grill will also feature a full bar. The tennis center wants it to feel like a country club, essentially, and they want everybody to have access to tennis. In Midland right now, nobody has access to tennis unless you're a member of a country club or you play for like high school, so they really want everybody to have a fun place to go, eat, and play, Wells explained. Although restaurant hours have yet to be finalized, Wells expects the Center Court Grill to be open more often and longer than the Wadley Avenue Murray's Deli. She also hopes this will help with lunchtime waiting issues due to the deli's high daily customer count. As for the future of Murray's, could this be the start of more expansions? Wells seems to think so, but hopes to keep expectations on one location at a time. It's on our radar. We've been approached by a few other areas that say they would love to have a Murray's, but we don't want to grow too quickly. We still want to keep our food consistent and delicious and find the right people. That's what we're striving for, Wells stated. Midland ISD creates committees for MHS Legacy Freshman Facilities by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD announced recently it has created committees to examine what to do with the current Midland High School and Legacy Freshman High School after new facilities are built and other facilities are improved thanks to the $1.415 billion bond approved by voters on Tuesday. Midland ISD reported that each group met one time in September, and they received an overview of the facilities index assessment and how Midland High School and Legacy Freshmen fared highest on this study. The purpose of the meetings was to begin brainstorming ways the campuses could best serve the district in the future and hear concerns from the community, Midland ISD reported. At this time, a second meeting has not been set. Midland High School Committee, Community, Heidi Krueger, Christine Foreman, Rebecca Heidelberg, Amy Scarborough, Rashari Bibbs. Legacy Freshman High School Committee, Community, Courtney Ratliff, Shannon Lowe, Mandy Solis, Calvin Wilk. MISD staff, Jennifer Seibert, Mitch Etzel, Misty Ring, Jared Andrews, Jeff Horner, Sharon Torres, Courtney Smith, Lindsay White, Anita Gardenfelder, Blake Felt, Stephanie Howard, Robert Cedillo. Source is Midland ISD. Keep Midland Beautiful hosts Texas Recycles Day on Saturday by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Midlanders looking for a secure way to discard their forgotten items can block off Saturday morning because Keep Midland Beautiful will host the city's 18th year of participation in Texas Recycles Day. Started in 1994, Texas Recycles Day acted as a six-week campaign to boost recycling in the state. After the National Recycling Coalition's Congress embraced the idea, TRD became America Recycles Day in 1997. Parades, events, and conferences became the way of life for recycling educators, coalitions, and supporters, ultimately leading us to November 15th, the 29th year. Here in Midland, environmental nonprofit Keep Midland Beautiful invites members of the community to partake in the annual event by bringing in an array of items to Midland College, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday. Vendors specializing in safe recycling processes take designated items from visitors and make sure each one is disposed of properly. Acceptable items, electronics, 6 per vehicle, laptops and desktops, landlines, servers, flat screens, switches, DVD players, cell phones, chargers, tablets, hard drives, projectors, UPS batteries, audio and radio equipment, docking stations, cable boxes, satellite boxes, cameras, game consoles, GPS equipment, MP3 players, remote controls, cords, fax and VCRs, automotive tires, 4 per vehicle, most homemade appliances, 2 per vehicle, refrigerators, washers, dryers, dishwashers, microwaves, ovens, stoves, freezers, water heaters, and toasters, aluminum cans, plastics number 1 and number 2, cardboard, paper, and gently used clothing for Goodwill. Note, limits in place help keep the process running smoothly and timely. Each limit will be strictly enforced. Furthermore, the event is only open to residential areas, not businesses or offices. Non-acceptable items, vacuums, x-ray machines, paint, car batteries, Those need to be taken to Midtech's Battery at 1410 West Front Street, glass, styrofoam, hard or soft books, pallets, blueprints, and chemicals. People wait all year for this, Joy Paulson, KMB's executive director, explained. Not everybody has the means. If you take these items to the city dump, it's going to cost you something, and it gets pricey. The event is really important to our community because it's a way for them to properly recycle these items, and it's no cost. Keep Midland Beautiful and other Texas Recycles Day vendors can be found at the Midland College Chaparral Center, 3600 North Garfield Street. Verdict is in. Texas voters tell oldest judges it's time to retire. By Acacia Coronado, Associated Press. When it comes to age on the ballot, Texas didn't wait until 2024 to weigh in. Asked to let judges stay on the bench until they're 79 years old, a year younger than President Joe Biden, Texas voters soundly rejected the proposal in Tuesday's elections, a defeat that drew new attention to issues of age and fitness for office in the U.S. Age is front of mind for American voters in a way that it has not traditionally been, and they are nervous about it, said Cal Gilson, a political science professor at Southern Methodist University. Others cautioned against broader takeaways. At least four other states have rejected similar proposals over the last decade, according to the National Center for State Courts, and states that have passed the measures have mostly done so in close votes. Still, the outcome in Texas put another spotlight on age on politics. Biden is now 80, and former President Donald Trump is 77. Today, the age factor is shaping up as an important issue in a possible rematch in 2024 of their race in 2020. The lopsided failure of Proposition 13, which would have raised the mandatory retirement age for state judges by 4 years, stood out in a mostly quiet off-year election in Texas. For one, it was the lone ballot item that voters singled out for rejection among 14 proposed changes to the Texas Constitution. Measures that passed included raises for retired teachers and changes to farm regulations. There was no organized opposition leading up to Tuesday's vote, but by a nearly 2-to-1 margin, Texas voters balked at letting judges stay on the job into their late 70s, which supporters said would help experienced judges stay in office longer. They also argued that longer life expectancies made raising the mandatory retirement age appropriate. Presiding judges of Texas's highest courts are among those in line to retire in the coming years. Lawmakers who authored the bill did not return messages Wednesday seeking comment after the measure's failure. In August, a poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research found that 77% of U.S. adults think that Biden is too old to effectively serve a second term. Meanwhile, only half of adults showed concern about Trump's age despite the short age gap. Since 2011, voters in Arizona, Ohio, New York, and Hawaii have rejected ballot measures to raise the retirement ages for judges, but similar efforts won approval in Pennsylvania and Florida. None of the states with proposed age limit increases have seen organized opposition before the propositions failed, according to Bill Rafferty, a senior knowledge management analyst for the National Center on State Courts. He did not dispute that age could be a factor for voters, but he said support for term limits might also play a role among some voters. There hasn't been any people against old judges pack or what have you, Rafferty said. Diamondback's earnings exceed expectations. Diamondback Energy Incorporated on Monday reported third quarter net income of $915 million. On a per-share basis, the Midland-based company said it had net income of $5.07. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs were $5.49 per share. The results exceeded Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 12 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $4.90 per share. The energy exploration and production company posted revenue of $2.34 billion in the period, also topping street forecasts. 10 analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $2.18 billion. Viper Energy reports third quarter profit. Viper Energy Partners LP on Monday reported third quarter net income of $78.6 million. On a per-share basis, the Midland-based company said it had profit of $1.11. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring gains, came to $1.10 per share. The results surpassed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 9 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 46 cents per share. The oil and gas company posted revenue of $293.2 million in the period, also exceeding street forecasts. 9 analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $196.4 million. Dawson Geophysical provides earning report. Dawson Geophysical Company on Thursday reported a loss of $5.2 million in its third quarter. On a per-share basis, the Midland-based company said it had a loss of 20 cents. The provider of onshore seismic data services for the oil and gas industry posted revenue of $23 million in the period. Permian Strategic Partnership adds Targa, Western Midstream. By Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. And then there were 27. The Permian Strategic Partnership announced Thursday its membership has grown to 27 companies, with Targa Resources and Western Midstream joining the coalition. Tracy Bentley, PSP's President and Chief Executive Officer, told the Reporter-Telegram by email, "We are excited that our work in the region is being noticed and is attracting new companies who want to be part of our mission and vision." In a statement announcing the new members, she commented, "The additions of Targa Resources and Western Midstream highlight PSP's dedication to building a coalition of partners deeply invested in the communities across the Permian Basin. With their expertise and resources, we are positioned to continue to drive innovation through our transformational initiatives that will continue to improve the overall quality of life for the communities within the region." PSP has expanded significantly this year, adding 8 members since the beginning of the year, including its first 2 university partners, the Texas Tech University and University of Texas Systems. Other new members this year include driller Helmerich and Payne, service companies Champion X and Liberty Energy, and producer Mewbourne Oil. "At Targa, we're committed to positively impacting and promoting the development of the communities where we live and work, and we are pleased to join the Permian Strategic Partnership to advance this mission," said Matthew J. Malloy, Chief Executive Officer of Targa Resources, in a statement. Danny Halderman, Western Midstream Senior Vice President, South Operations, said in a statement, "Our participation with the Permian Strategic Partnership underscores our commitment to the well-being of my 350 colleagues who work every day to advance energy in the Delaware Basin. The West Texas region offers unique opportunities for our communities, and I'm excited to help PSP pursue its mission of improving the quality of life for our people outside of work." Formed in 2019 by a coalition of 17 leading Permian Basin energy companies, PSP focuses on 5 areas: education, healthcare, housing, road safety, and workforce. Through public-private partnerships, they have committed more than $150 million in member company contributions, leveraging more than $1 billion in transformative investments. PSP members are Apache, BPX Energy, Champion X, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Coterra Energy, Devon Energy, Diamondback Energy, Endeavor Energy Resources, EOG Resources, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, Helmer & Payne, Kinetec, Liberty Energy, Mewbourne Oil Company, Occidental, Ovintiv, Permian Resources, Pioneer Natural Resources, Plains All American, SLB, Targa Resources, the Texas Tech University System, the University of Texas System, Waterbridge Resources, and Western Midstream. AAA, Midland gas prices are highest in Texas, by Ben Schaefer. Although gas prices in Midland fell by 7 cents this week, Midland is one of three Texas cities with gas prices more than $3 and is tied for the most expensive gas prices in the state, according to AAA Texas. Fuel in College Station and Midland is the most expensive in the state with a $3.06 average in both cities. Gas prices dropped or remained below the $3 mark in the other 24 Texas cities that AAA surveys. The Texas state average gas price fell from $2.93 last week to $2.86 this week. Cheaper crude oil and growing gasoline supplies are contributing to more affordable retail fuel prices across the state, said Daniel Armbruster, spokesperson for AAA Texas. As we approach the bustling Thanksgiving holiday travel period, some price fluctuations may be encountered, but the overarching trend throughout November suggests the possibility of reduced fuel costs. For the second week in a row, Texas is the cheapest state to buy gas in the country. Regionally, gas prices in Abilene fell a penny to $2.79, and fuel in Amarillo fell 11 cents to $2.90. For the first time in months, El Paso is no longer home to the most expensive gas prices in the state. The price there decreased 14 cents to $3.04. Gas prices in Lubbock dropped 15 cents to $2.85. Gas prices in Odessa dropped to $2.97, and the 8 to 9 cent gap between gas prices in Midland and Odessa persists. Fuel prices in San Angelo dropped 6 cents to $2.84. With crude oil prices showing a consistent downward trajectory, it is anticipated that retail gasoline prices could follow suit. However, given the impending Thanksgiving holiday travel season, fluctuations in prices cannot be ruled out. More good news for drivers hoping for cheaper gasoline. Recent data from the Energy Information Administration indicates gasoline supplies continue to build, AAA reported Thursday. Texas remains home to the cheapest statewide gas price average in the country. Obituaries and death notices. Billy Ray Spruill. Bill was born in Waco, Texas, to Virginia and John Spruill on December 8, 1933. He is preceded in death by his father, mother, three brothers, and a sister. He is survived by his wife, Charmaine, daughter, Cheryl Netherland, son, Scott Spruill, sister, Frances Carminati, three grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren. Funeral Mass will be offered at St. Stephen's Catholic Church at 2 p.m. on Monday, November 13, 2023, followed by interment at Fairview Cemetery in Midland, Texas. A rosary will be prayed before Mass beginning at 1:30 p.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home. Betty Jean Kithcart. Betty Jean Salisbury Kithcart, 75, died October 20, 2023, surrounded by her family in her Keller, Texas home. A celebration of her life service will take place Monday, December 11, 2023 at 4 p.m. at the Lucas Funeral Home, 1601 South Main Street, Keller, Texas. The daughter of Howard and Ruth Salisbury, Betty was born in Big Spring, Texas, May 10, 1948. Betty is survived by her husband of 54 years, Daniel J. Kithcart, daughters Karen Stoltenberg and Rebecca Gomez, four grandchildren, brother Tom Salisbury, and sisters Anne Gilley and Kay Castle. Betty is preceded by her parents, parents-in-law Richard and Rayleigh Kithcart, nephew David Castle, and son-in-law John Gomez. Those who wish to send memorials may support the charity of their choice or Heart for the Nation, P.O. Box 1861, Keller, Texas, 76244. Paul B. Lara. Paul B. Lara, 53, of Midland, passed away Monday, November 6, 2023. Viewing will be Saturday, November 11, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a prayer service to begin at 7 p.m. Sunday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Monday, November 13, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Real Church Midland. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Ronald Allen. Ronald Allen, 63, of Midland, passed away November 5, 2023. No service is scheduled. Cremation arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Joe Renee Reyes. Joe Renee Reyes, 84, passed away on Wednesday, November 8, 2023. Viewing will be Monday, November 13, 2023, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Tuesday, November 14, 2023, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Opinion: there's a way to improve high school outcomes inside Midland ISD. Stuart Doreen. In 2017, there was a running joke with Midland ISD board members and then Interim Superintendent Rod Schroeder. Basically, every time the search for a permanent superintendent came up, a board member would ask if Schroeder would take the job. People smiled, some laughs were exchanged, but deep inside, those who knew education governance realized Schroeder could lead Midland ISD out of the student outcome abyss caused by a decade of decline. Why? He had pelts on the wall. He still does. Midland ISD? Not so much. Earlier, the Reporter-Telegram published high school rankings according to the U.S. News and World Reports. Editor's note, I avoided commenting on this in September because I said I was going to avoid publishing my own opinion pieces during the bond campaign. Of course, early college high school at Midland College was among the top 150 high schools in the state. That is something Midlanders should be proud of, and more Midland families might want to consider ECHS at MC for their sons and daughters. Midland High and Legacy High, on the other hand, didn't fare nearly as well. Between 1,258th and 1,532nd, according to the rankings, that put MHS and Legacy with the worst-ranked high schools in the region. Why are we bringing up Schroeder? Easy. Amarillo ISD's high schools performed near the top of the larger school districts in West Texas. Amarillo High, number 303. Paladuro, 623. Tascosa, 677. Caprock, 763. These are comprehensive high schools just like Midland High and Legacy. Seeing those rankings made me remember those meetings with Schroeder, who was blunt with the board about the hard work needed. Midland ISD at the time ranked among the worst performing districts in the state. Amarillo didn't. As the years go by, it is not difficult to remember who put in the hard work and who was willing to change adult behavior and who didn't. And as the U.S. News and World Report showed, Amarillo's comprehensive high schools still receive high praise. So do Abilene ISD's high schools. Academy for Technology, Engineering, Math, and Science, number 236. Abilene High, 612. Abilene Cooper, 613. Lubbock ISD's aren't great. Talkington School for Young Women Leaders, No. 22, Lubbock High, $399. Coronado High School, $996. Monterey High School, $1,186. But there's not much campus between 1258th and 1532nd in the bunch. The point here isn't to cry over the fact that Schroeder said no. It isn't to say that current Superintendent Stephanie Howard can't make magic of her own. The point is, Midland ISD and the Midland community have a roadmap for better student outcomes, higher graduation rates, better college readiness scores, and better preparation for college or career, right in front of them in the rankings if they care to look. Because those asking what works got answers when looking at the U.S. News and World Report rankings. The first answer is traditional isn't cutting it across the state, and especially in areas outside the Dallas, Houston, and Austin suburbs. A majority of the best high schools in the top 100 don't have football teams and aren't burdened by decades and decades of tradition. In the case of the early college high schools, they are not only the shining stars of their respective independent school districts, but they are based on a model that has helped lift other schools in their respective communities. There were 21 early college high schools ahead of early college high school at Midland College. That doesn't include the collegiate preps or collegiate high schools. The top ranked of the bunch was in Laredo, 13th, followed by McAllen, 15th. Other early college high schools included those in Brownsville, 32nd, Clint, 52nd, Mission, 77th, El Paso, 91st and 99th, Rio Grande City, 108th, La Jolla, 112th, Far San Juan, Alamo, 137th. The second answer is a number of highly ranked schools that make many around Midland sick to their stomach. They are charters like Idea Public Schools and Young Women Preparatory Network. Idea put 16 high schools ahead of ECHS at MC. Again, some of those locations are never going to be confused with the Friscos and Prospers of the world, so-called comps for Midland ISD. They included Brownsville, 16th and 38th, McAllen, 20th, Edinburgh, 26th, 33rd and 66th, Weslaco, 44th and 81st, San Juan, 48th, Mission, 59th, Donna, 85th, and San Benito, 109th. At this point, let's put something in perspective. McAllen had two high schools that U.S. News and World Report rated higher than Highland Park High School, number 30. Young Women's Preparatory Network showed an incomparable upside in the rankings. Its all-girls campus in Dallas ranked second in the state, and five others ranked between numbers 10 and 22, including the Talkington School for Young Women Leaders, which at 22nd was the lone campus in West Texas to top ECHS at MC. Again, these schools represent school choice, which for some reason has provoked disdain from district officials and a specific contingent inside the community. It doesn't matter whether they are in-district or out-of-district charters, or whether charters and the early college high school provide the best shot for student outcome success this city has seen in the last 20 years, there are members of the board and school district that resent their presence inside Midland ISD and inside our community. Here's the secret. More are coming. The fact is the current plans of Midland ISD brass is to buck the trends and move Midland ISD forward in its current direction. That is a bit of a head-scratcher. For a district that wants to be a comp to Frisco so badly, it is forgotten that Frisco has 12 high schools, and none are Class 6A. We worry about change because hiring a football coach will just become too difficult. The fact is, this bond had nothing to do with today's opus. As expected, the sun did come up on November 8th, but the improvement with student outcomes in a majority Hispanic and economically disadvantaged district likely will have nothing to do with our growing high school campuses. Those real opportunities to get an education, unlike anything possible in Midland right now, will be with Early College High School at Midland College, Idea Travis Academy, Young Women's Leadership Academy, and the work taking place with career and technical education. That appears to be a major takeaway of the U.S. News and World Report rankings. But look for yourself. Where are the high schools with the waiting lists? And compare that to the schools the board and district gets most excited about and tweet about the most. The difference may tell us why the bar for academic outcomes may always be a little lower in Midland. Our lack of imagination in what Midland can be, or should be, is only topped by the lack of awareness for what's being done elsewhere, that Midland should be replicating, but would rather drive away. We were once told about the opportunities. For those of us that were watching in 2017, it really does seem like that was a lifetime ago.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 4th, 2023. Religion. Divorce vexes families and societies. Ministers say understanding spouses' needs a key. By Bob Campbell. If everyone agrees that divorce is one of the worst things that can happen in life, then why is it so prevalent? The Reverends Eddie Elliott and Jesus Gomez cite Malachi 2:16, which says, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel," and Matthew 5:32, where Jesus says, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery." The Reverend Elliott, pastor of the Solid Rock Fellowship out west, said he often talks with people who are succeeding in their third marriages and tell him, "I had to change my ways in order to get along better and make this one stick." They learn from their mistakes, he said. "So my philosophy is to make the changes you need to make now. See to your spouse's heart and let Jesus take care of the rest." Elliott said he had learned a lot about counseling couples from a book titled The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, which describes the stages of marriage relationships and says that after the infatuation of the first year, couples often start noticing each other's idiosyncrasies and become less tolerant and more discourteous. You need to love each other intentionally, by choice, and on purpose, Elliott said. Many people want to live in the fairy tale, only life doesn't work like Hollywood. Make the decision to work at loving and see to your spouse's heart. Chapman says a woman should start with a man's heart and work down, and a man should start with a woman's heart and work up. It's a man's physical needs and a woman's emotional needs. Tell her how pretty she is. The worst thing about divorce is the collateral damage, especially to the kids. Asked to the secrets of his 48 marriage to his wife, Tina Fey, his high school sweetheart, Elliott said, "Her perseverance and the hand of God." Women's needs are entirely different from men's. The Reverend Gomez, pastor of New Hope Church, said most divorces can be attributed to the inability to communicate and a loss of connection. We can get into the rat race of life and fall into a pit of forgetting about the relationship, he said. I tell couples that love is a choice. The emotions we have when we're first married are not permanent because our emotions fluctuate. The question is, where are you in this relationship? What do you love about your spouse? What do you enjoy? God hates divorce. It's not his plan. God doesn't make you marry a specific person, but sometimes we try to pass the responsibility on to him and fault him for our decision making. We say, if God didn't want me to marry this person, he should have removed him or her out of my path. But that's not the way it works, Gomez said. Samson had a choice, and he chose the Philistine women who were enemies of his people. Gomez, whose wife's name is Alejandra, said marriage is about the overall relationship. It has nothing to do with the sensual or sexual aspect, he said. It has to do with wanting to spend time with my wife and have her presence in my life. It's about partnership, companionship, and friendship. Guest view. Is it true we can live in peace? By William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Have you considered that worry and anxiety is an issue we can control? Many within the medical world agree that stress is not a lurking monster that forces us to be afraid, but rather our negative thoughts are a nurtured response to what we see and hear. In other words, our assumptions become empowered when our emotions embrace them. Thus, if we can learn how to rewire or renew the way we think, we can begin to walk in victory over fear, which we blame for ruining our happiness. We've heard about going to our happy place, a seemingly magical location where we can take refuge from whatever is threatening our security. But what is this about? It can mean different things to different people. But for those who have a relationship with God, it's a secret place in the deepest part of our soul where we can commune with God and embrace the safety and joy of His presence. I remember a movie where a young girl was experiencing severe panic attacks. Her family would lovingly remind her to go to her happy place, and she would close her eyes and begin to control her breathing. As she blocked out what was happening around her and focused on comforting thoughts, she would eventually calm down. As Christians, we are reminded that Jesus is a type of strong tower where those who are fearful can run into him and be safe. When we become entangled with spiritual resistance and allow the enemy to control us, we are consumed with hopelessness and can hardly focus on anything else. But when we trust God's promises and allow Him to carry our burdens for us, our confidence is ignited as we press forward in the freedom of His peace, which passes all understanding. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 declares, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." The social, cultural, and political environment is spiraling into darkness, and the current destructive wars are truly disturbing. But as Christians, we should not be surprised. Those who know and listen to the Lord have discernment and understand this falling away from spiritual truth and lack of commitment to the church was prophesied and will continue until Jesus returns. The Bible and the Christian faith are mocked more than ever, and those who follow Jesus are being persecuted. So, what are we to do? We can hide in the shadows, or we can stand on God's truth that never fails. Yes, there is a way we can not only survive in these last days, but we can thrive in the name and power of Jesus Christ. God's promise that no weapon formed against us can prosper is a wonderful confirmation of how the mountains and giants will always try to intimidate us. But if we obey God's voice, they cannot defeat us. Anxiety, confusion, depression, stress, and worry are caused by being consumed with fear about the future, while guilt, regret, resentment, anger, sadness, and every type of unforgiveness are powerful feelings from our past that can hold us in spiritual bondage. I was listening to a sports commentator the other day as he was explaining how a positive mental state is a critical factor when it comes to success. He mentioned a football team that had recently lost a game by barely missing a field goal with no time left on the clock. The intensity of this gut-wrenching loss was multiplied by the fact they had been defeated by this opposing team 30 years in a row. He was sympathetic, yet making a point that if they could not get past this intimidating attitude of weakness and discouragement, it could continue to control their destiny. God has a plan for his children and is waiting for us to step forward and say, "Here I am, send me." May we realize that God never intended for us to allow our disappointments and self-pity to defeat us. They are the opposite of faith. It's time to surrender our will to God and give everything we have and all that we are to him. Yes, there will be serious difficulties, but he is with you now and desires to fill you with his love and encouragement. It is said that it is never too late to become what you might have been. Read more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com. Guest View: Veterans Day by Dr. Jimmy Braswell, Chaplain of Home Hospice of Odessa. Veterans Day is approaching. It will be a time to express appreciation to veterans living and to those who have died in service to our country. Two words come to mind, and both are illustrated in the lives of my two brothers, who are dead, but served in Vietnam. The first word is protection. My brother Randy exemplified it. He was dropped covertly across the border in Laos, and not only did his family not know of it, but he was never recognized for that service. Being a protector was his goal, and he died as a result of chemical poisoning. He became a hospice patient and revealed to us his service during his final days. I told him I understood he was not to reveal that tour, and his response was, "What are they going to do? Kill me?" He was already dying with his poisoning. The second word is security. My eldest brother, Les, served as a helicopter medic for two tours and only recently died. He used to say that when he jumped off the helicopter, the Kong began shooting at him instead of the others. He doubled as a lay chaplain for those dying, as chaplains seldom were in the field. He was security for those soldiers and to us, his brothers and sister, after my mother's early death in a car accident. He became mother to us. At his memorial, my sister and I remembered him as giving us security. Protection and security. That's what our veterans give us in their service.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.